This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
We present Roger Service as Arthur and Brenda Radloff as Guinevere in The Day the Unicorns Danced by Jean Henderson.
The sea has waited 20 years, girl. The mist shrouding it waited. I have waited, England has waited, but the waiting will end soon. The mists will melt, the white horses of the tide will bear him shoreward, back here to Lyonesse, where he will again take up his shield and restore to Britain her pride and her peace. So is his destiny, and so it will be.
I honor your faith, Lord Merlin. The truth to tell, even envy it a little. I wish my convictions were as strong.
Oh, you doubt your convictions, Gildwin? Does not the one contradict the other?
Not doubt, my lord, but I sometimes question.
Oh, question we must, child. How otherwise would we ever learn? Sometimes all questions are not necessary, for the answers are already there. Simply, it is a knowing that runs through one's veins as the rivers spill to the sea. The old laws of moon and sun and earth. There's no shadow of uncertainty in these teachings. We know the truth of them.
Is that why you are so certain King Arthur will return from the dead?
He merely rests a while in Avalon, to be healed of his wounds and balance his soul with the forests and the fields. He's much to do in this mortal realm before he can enjoy the immortal freedom of the valley.
My mother often tells me how much your longing saddens her. You loved him like a son.
I was his mentor, his confidant, his guide, his companion. even his wizard. Oh, Arthur, the games we used to play.
Is it true you used to change him into all manner of creatures? Animals, birds, even ants to teach him the ways of nature?
Oh, the making of spells, aye. Yes. He made a splendid falcon, but a very unimpressive mole, as I recall. He never acquired the taste for worms. Oh, but you must know all about that. Your mother must have regaled you over the years with these stories.
Not many. She hardly speaks of him. I know she mourns him still. And I know she mourns the Lady Guinevere. I'm told they were very close.
Ah, they were. She and I often sit outside of an evening and talk of the Queen.
Is she also in Avalon?
Queen Guinevere? No. No, she's not in Avalon.
Where is she then, my lord?
All mysteries are unveiled in the fullness of time, child.
I don't understand you, my lord.
Well, one day, when you're older, wiser, you will understand many things.
You haven't forgotten, my lord, that tomorrow I will be 20. But I doubt I shall be any wiser.
Oh, yes, 20. Ah, 20 years past, you bawled your way into the world like a jelly-limbed calf. And 20 years past, Arthur fell in battle like an arrowed hawk. A first breath taken, a last breath gasped. Thus stitches time her tapestry. Thus she powders the bones and leathers the hide and makes age our prison.
Oh, I never think of you as old, my lord. Oh. Although I know you have the wisdom of the ancients, I can't imagine you ever growing really old.
I doubt I can grow any older. But your mother will tell you, if she's not already. I am as old as the lost realms of the past and as young as the undiscovered ones of the future. As old as the Epic of Gilgamesh. And as young as the prose that has not yet been penned. As old as the ash grove, singing its secrets to the twilight from the cliff's ridge, and as young as the seeds it is yet to spawn. There is no growing older when one has drunk the grapes of time. But wiser? Ah, yes, wiser. I could well grow wiser. And I will, just as soon as Arthur returns and imparts to me the mysteries of the veil. And it's closer than we think, his return.
Why do you say that?
I hear in the echo of the waves something he said once, twice, words he spoke. The second time they staggered from his throat like a speared fawn, bloodied and dying in the dawn light. If I'd not heard the words before, I might not have understood them, so feeble was the tongue that spoke. But the first time, they sprang from his lips like sunlight shafts on water, leaping with joy and pride, alive with laughter, young as the dew.
Trusty lords, my lordly knights, we will surge eastwards with the might of the sea itself and break the Saxon lions like rotten twigs. They will yield to Pendragon as wheat to the wind. Our banners will stream again under English skies, their unicorns dancing in the light. We will regain the fenlands and the forests from Gwent to Elmet, from Wessex to Lindsay. Satan, take the Jutes, the Angles, and the Saxons. The shield and lance and horse, we ride with the rising of the moon. Tomorrow the unicorns will dance. And you and I, Merlin, will share a goblet and toast a victory.
Oh, you're so sure the victory will be yours, Arthur?
Tonight, Merlin, I must insist you address me as befits my station. I am your king now, no longer your pupil.
You still have an eternity of learning before you, Arthur. You will always be my pupil.
I am the king of Lyonesse and the Westlands. And after tomorrow, the king of all England. And in a cat's lick thereafter, king of all Britain.
And I admire your ambition, your majesty.
That's better.
But I question your impetuosity.
How so?
I have already advised you against this encounter. You seem to have seen fit to disregard that, and now you have issued the order. You cannot retract it.
I would not.
You cannot! Even should your good sense, if you still have any, usurp your vanity, you cannot! A king cannot be seen to be indecisive, especially a very new king.
A new king, yes, and no longer a young one. But I have learned much in 40 years to equip me for this office, mostly from observing the mistakes of my father. But now Uther is dead, and I intend to restore this land to the glory it knew before he lost his power and his mind, to wine and wenches, and allowed England to be raped by that mess of foreign vermin that stream to these shores. May he burn with all the other demons of hell.
I understand your anger, but you are too hasty, Arthur. Your majesty, the time is not right.
Then tell me, my wise Merlin, when will it be time to forge a new pride in the Celts, if not now? How many more dawns must rise on the fire and pillaging of our land? How many more nights must the moon be darkened with the shadows of our dead? In memory of mortals past and the gods themselves, I will defend these shores.
I have the soul of a true warrior, but not yet, I fear, the strategy of a wise one.
Merlin, I respect your powers and your knowledge. I admire you as a sage, and love you as a man. But I am Arthur Pendragon, and my destiny is to be the greatest king that ever lived. Tonight, at low tide, we cross to the west coast, and tomorrow I will lead my knights into battle. The Saxons will not vanquish us.
No, your majesty. Your impatience will do that.
Thank you. Where is Owain? He was to lead the charge from the tide.
He lies with them. Recognizable only by his crest. His helmet and his head were borne away on a Saxon pike.
By all the gods!
We must retreat, Your Majesty!
The king does not retreat to stand, and any knight who considers it does not deserve to bear arms!
Arthur, wheel! Behind you!
Fill my goblet, Merlin, and then I will rise from this bed and dress. You have summoned the knights to the hall?
Whoever is left, Your Majesty.
That is the price of war, Merlin. Do not presume to make me feel guilt for their deaths.
Guilt cannot be enforced on another, Arthur. Only the guilty can feel the stab of it.
I am not responsible for the circumstances of fate.
But you helped create those circumstances.
What would you have me do? Beg forgiveness?
Of whom? The wives, the children, the dead?
Satan take you, Merlin. I am a soldier, a king.
You keep telling me.
I could have been amongst them myself.
Oh, yes, but your destiny decrees otherwise. I knew you would lose the battle, as I knew you would not lose your life. And still in the time of sowing, Arthur, you have a good many seasons before the harvest.
Even you cannot see the full sweep of my destiny, Merlin.
Most of it.
My death? Merlin, do you see my death?
Yes, to lie too lightly upon you, Your Majesty, for you to be dwelling on that. Compared to me, you're hardly more than a fledgling.
I am no longer a boy. Why will you persist in reminding me of my youth?
Oh, I wish someone would remind me of mine. If I have to turn my mind back like the pages of a book to remember the joy of it, the freedom, the vanity, the passion, the desire. Oh, Arthur, one day you will plead with life to remind you of your youth.
Not so, my lord. I have yet to plead with anyone, not with friend nor foe, not with the despised nor the loved.
Even the oak bends to the wind, Arthur. In time, the stoutest rocks crumble to the sea.
I am neither oak nor rock. I am flesh and blood.
I am therefore more vulnerable than any stick or stone. Your defeat, I see, has not conquered your complacency.
At the next new moon, I ride again. And this time, we will return victorious.
So it is written. But only with the help of Clidach.
Clidach? I know no such man.
Woman.
Merlin, you play tricks with me, or your mind plays tricks with you. Do I need a milksop wench to win my wars?
No wench, Arthur, no milksop. The high priestess of the waterlands, since the towns were ponds, the hills were antheaps. She's been woven into your destiny.
You have not spoken of this before?
We've only now reached the time.
In what manner is she part of my destiny?
Tonight, under the fullness of the moon, on the shingle of the lake, you will see for yourself in what manner.
Is this more of your wizardry, Merlin? I am too busy for that now.
Call it what you will. It is the cornerstone of your future. We will meet on the 11th hour at the lake beneath the cliffs of Epona. You come along.
Is this the spot, my lord?
Right here, Tristan. I stood with Merlin on these very shingles and saw the sword rise through the surface of the lake like a living thing. First the blade, gleaming in the light, and then the hilt, aflame with jewels, and held by a woman's hand. I feared at the wonder of it. Never before, I think, have human eyes borne witness to such a marvel.
And you yourself waded in and received it?
Yes. And the hand that offered it, though white as death and diaphanous as the mists, pulsed with the warmth of life itself. And so did Excalibur. I swear it leapt into my hand as if it knew my grasp.
Well, if Merlin says your hand was destined to hold that hilt, who would question it?
For my part, I think I'd rather favor holding the hand of the damsel who gave it to you, if Merlin's description of her holds true.
Yes, we are well acquainted with your chosen pastime, Sir Knight. But my days are too filled with more important things. You play the lover, I'll play the king.
Kings have been known to play both, Your Majesty.
Not I. The wiles of a woman are more deadly than a scorpion's sting. Rather would I face the Saxon hordes in the dust of battle than one petticoated wench in a perfume bower.
I have always found them more alluring unpetticoated.
I'm sure you speak from great experience.
I do, sire. But alas, experience does not always assure one of a victory in the game of love. Have you not found that so?
You are the enlightened one in that field, Tristan.
Come, Your Majesty. You must surely have tasted a little of the ripening fruit.
Well, I have plucked one or two peaches.
And were they not sweet?
They were pleasant. But come, we must return to the castle.
There is a very pleasant peach ready for the plucking in Your Majesty's orchards.
Oh?
But perchance you have been too involved in those other things you speak of to notice.
To whom do you refer?
Why, the Lady Guinevere, sire. She has the bloom of beauty and the promise of paradise.
Guinevere? Daughter of Grassmore, my equerry? But she is 17 years, man. Don't tell me she has turned your head, by all the gods. Do you not consider yourself too old for this?
I am but in my 30th year, sire. That does not mean I am blind to youth's beauty, nor palsied, nor crippled in heart or limb, or any other part. But seriously, she has not only turned my head, she has, I delight to tell you, captured my heart. I intend to ask her father for her hand.
You will marry her?
I, with Sir Grassmore's, and, of course, your permission, Majesty.
I know not what to say. You stun me as a lance to the chest.
Will you give your permission?
Of course, that is a mere formality. But what of the lady? Does she agree?
I have not yet put the question, my lord.
Well, there must be some indication. She returns your affection?
I have not in the true sense courted her. But on the occasions we have kept company, yes, she appears to have enjoyed my attentions. She is quite the coquette, and spirited as an unbroken steed. I like it. Presents a challenge.
So that's it, then.
What do you mean?
You are not in love, Tristan. This girl, unlike the wenches you have subjugated with such ease, presents to you, you said it yourself, a challenge. She has thrown down the gauntlet, and you, proud knight that you are, will pick it up. Oh, believe me, Tristan, you will be better to pick up your feet and run for all your worth. She has bewitched you. All women practice sorcery in one way or the other.
So you do know, then. You hide secrets from me, my lord.
You think your own thoughts, Tristan, and do not presume to ferret about in mine. But let me tell you this. You would reap more success extinguishing the fires of hell than trying to fan a flame in her or in any female heart.
Even the fires of hell could not inflict more agony than does my desire. I will have her. But I will have her honorably and in good conscience, as behoves a knight of Pendragon.
I admire your noble sentiments, Tristan. And to tell the truth, they surprise me. I cannot recall you ever allowing such scruples to thwart any past endeavors.
Oh, they were mere diversions, my lord. Wenches of no station, women of no morals, the cheap playthings of a full-blooded man. The Lady Guinevere is as a pearl to their dross. Besides, Eros' arrow has struck home, despite your assumption.
Do I ride beside a lovesick knight? I cannot believe it.
Neither can I, sire, but I cannot deny it. Or myself, any longer. Come, I will race you to the moat. I will speak to Grassmore today.
Be serious.
I can, my lady. But it appears you cannot. Why do you laugh?
Oh, in the few months I've been at court, we have talked together.
And walked together.
And walked together. Barely 3 times.
You have kept count.
And now, unexpected as a summer storm, you ask my hand in marriage.
It is not a sudden decision, my lady.
You have made no advances. You have not paid court. You have presented neither pastries nor posies. You have never...
Oh, I intend to do all that, my lady, once you have consented.
You are so certain I will.
My heart cherishes the prospect.
And what shall my prospects be in this union, my lord?
Wondrous, my lady. You shall have all your heart desires, all your beauty commands. My coffers are not wanting.
I'm not speaking of a pretty penny, Sir Tristan. What a regard and consideration they might be deemed worthy of bringing to a marriage.
My sweet lady, those you already possess.
I possess them, my lord. The question is, do you?
You misunderstand me. I hold you in the highest regard. My reverence is boundless. I am the moon to your sun. No goddess could be more worshipped. I would lay down my life for you, my lady.
Half your life, Sir Knight.
My lady?
Your life is half over. It follows, then, you could only lay down half your life for me.
You aim a deadly shaft, my lady.
Sir Gawain has been instructing me. He says my aim is perfect.
I cannot argue with that.
Thank you, my lord, but I cannot take all the credit. He is a most skilled archer, amongst other things.
Yes, I know Gawain has many talents.
And many virtues.
Not the least of them being his youth.
Oh, yes, my lord, his youth.
The gods favor him.
Immeasurably.
And do you, my lady?
Where I place my favor and my friendship is surely not your concern, Sir Tristan.
I have just asked you to become my wife. Do you think it no concern to me that you have another man dancing attendance?
Oh, he excels in the pavane and the quadrille.
Do not sport with me. Lady Guinevere. This is a serious matter, and I will not accept...
Surely, my lord is not jealous.
Yes, your lord is jealous. There. Does that puff your feminine pride? Isn't that what you will hear to induce you to answer my question?
What question was that?
Will you or will you not be my wife?
I think not, my lord.
What?
Well, not yet. I shall have to consider it carefully.
I have considered it very carefully. That is enough.
And am I to have no say in the matter, sir? Is that how you show me your regard?
Why, you little... I will take leave of you now, my lady.
A timely move, my lord. I was about to request you do so.
I am tenacious, my lady. You will not blow me away as a leaf in the wind.
Autumn leaves, my lord, fall unaided.
Well placed, Gawain.
What a thrust! Oh, he is brilliant with horse and lance, is he not, Tristan?
I'm sure the Lady Guinevere would agree with you, Your Majesty.
Oh, come, come. You are not still angry at her, are you? She's merely playing you as a cat plays a mouse now. It's what women do. It gives them a kind of malevolent power. I warn you. Oh, stout fellow Gawain! Look, he's unseated four knights in a row.
Sire.
Oh, by all the gods, he could take on a whole army single-handed.
I would challenge him with one arm tied. He is an arrogant pup.
You find him so?
Yes, I do.
Interesting.
Why?
After that last battle, you lauded his valor and his chivalry as you would praise a prince. It was on your recommendation I knighted him. And now he is an arrogant pup.
The mind, Your Majesty, like the weather, tends sometimes to change.
Yes. Did she make comparison between the two of you, Tristan?
Did she
mock your years and eulogize his?
Well...
Extol his virtues and ridicule yours? Oh, my dear Tristan, you need not reply. I know the answers. She did the same to me.
What?
Humiliation, especially from a woman, can tear at a man like ravens at their prey. Oh, yes, I know well how you feel.
You paid court to the Lady Guinevere?
Has she not seduced every man in Camlann? And should the king be immune?
You wish to marry her?
A king needs a queen, Tristan. I know no woman I desire more to share my crown and bear my heirs.
And she refused? The king?
Not the king, I think, but what she perceived to be the entreaties of a time-dogged man. Summer is, you know, closer to autumn than the spring.
midsummer, my lord, and that season lies halfway between the two.
Well, the lady is true to herself, and I find that admirable.
I cannot believe your majesty bowed out without a fight. I recall you telling me once that a knight who retreated should not bear arms. So much more should not a king.
To retreat to a foe in the game of war is cowardice, Tristan. To yield with dignity in the game of unrequited love is a virtue. What man will grovel at the hem of a woman's skirts? By keeping your pride, you will prick hers. And that is a victory in itself.
There is an echo of Merlin there, your majesty.
There is, Tristan. Yes, there is.
Arthur!
Ah, Merlin! We have but mentioned your name.
Arthur, bad news.
What?
You must rally your men at once. The Saxons team with the Jutes who gather at Morwellum on the coast to cross at low tide tonight.
No.
They mount an attack from Cameron Wall.
What
is this?
I've just seen it in the cloud patterns over Glaston Rock. It's a vast army. The Morlands must be manned.
And Camelot's walls. Tristan, stop the jousting. Give the order. We ride within the hour.
Yes, your majesty.
What further do you see, Merlin? This time, is there victory?
Blood stains the beaches, Arthur. There's never battle without butchery. But this time, you wield Excalibur. Go, my liege. Ride beneath the unicorns, and may your shield be held by the gauntlet of the gods.
I beg you to come from the casement, my lady. To watch the wounded and the dead being carried in can only worsen your grief.
There is no degree to grief, your majesty.
When death severs a blood tie, my lady, faith is wont to weaken. But let it please your ladyship to know that Lord Grassmore died with honor.
My father dying with valor does nothing to strengthen my faith, neither in the hereafter nor in the present. What is the purpose of all this, your majesty?
We won the battle, my lady. We are victorious.
Gaining what?
Freedom from years of oppression by the usurpers of our land. A few more clashes like yesterday, and we will regain the whole of England.
And will that bring back my father, Sir Gawain, Sir Tristan, and all the other fallen?
No, my lady. Not, I think, in our lifetime. I know you harbored deep feelings for Gawain. I wish you to know I understand your loss, for I loved him too.
He was plucked with the dew still on his brow.
You weep for his youth?
I weep for his life. For his life, your majesty, and for Sir Tristan's, and for all those who lie now like broken shells at the sea edge.
Before Tristan died, he spoke a message for you. He said, tell the Lady Guinevere, the autumn leaf did not fall unaided. It was blown by the wind of war.
A thoughtless tongue is a harsh weapon, your majesty.
You spoke but with the flippancy of the young. He understood that.
Did you?
Yes. My lady, I am a king and a warlord, and these eyes have seen the extremes of horror and suffering. But never have those sights racked my heart as do your tears. Oh, come here, child. Let me hold you.
Oh, your majesty. I have no one. No one.
Hush, hush, now. You have me.
Oh, you are truly a good king, my lord.
Perhaps, in time, you will grant me the honor of thinking me also a good friend, my lady. You show no surprise, Merlin.
Oh, will you never learn, Arthur? By all the gods, events do not spring like a cat from the shadows on a seer. He hears each pattering of the coming.
You knew I would wed the Lady Guinevere?
Before either you or she were born.
Why don't you tell me these things?
It is for me to know your fate and for you to discover it. What a dull life you would live if you knew what awaited you around each corner.
After 3 years away, purging England of my foes, I return a happier man than I ever thought possible. Oh, Merlin, life is sweet. Today, king of all England, the land bathed in peace. Prosperity shines like a golden sun. And tomorrow, I take to myself a queen. What more could a man ask?
Your star is at its zenith, Arthur. I rejoice with you.
Guinevere, my love, I thought I might find you out here.
I cannot suffer walls about me when spring gambols so prettily in the gardens.
Not so prettily as you.
You flatter me constantly, Arthur. I wonder you do not fear I should revert to the vanity of my youth with such a diet.
The very young are ever vain, my love. But 5 years have matured you as time mellows wine. Oh, Guinevere, what a gift you have been to me. And what gifts you have given me.
Except that which you desire above all others?
No, 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 that is not true. We have all the time on earth yet. Here, give me a kiss. Lancelot! I did not hear you approach.
You told me to meet you here, Your Majesty.
Did I? Oh, yes, yes, I did. Of course I did. Forgive me, I was rather distracted.
So I observed, my lord.
Guinevere, you recall I spoke to you some months back when I was initiating the chapter of the Round Table. I spoke to you of Lancelot, knight-errant from the northern borders. We met in our last campaign.
I do indeed remember.
This is he. He comes to join us in Lyonnais. Lancelot, my wife and my queen.
Your Majesty.
My lord, you are most welcome.
I am most honored, Your Majesty.
Pray, keep your formalities for the council chamber, my lord. Outside of that, we are a close-bound family here. Is that not so, Arthur?
Yes, without question.
You are very kind, my lady. As you can see, I am more exactly the gleeman's fancy of a genteel knight, as you English perceive it. So the honor is greater that you should treat me as one.
You are every bit as noble as a knight should be, Lancelot. And though I doubt not the sincerity of your modesty, it hangs on you no less well than your tunic.
Arthur, that is hardly courteous.
Oh, when you know Lancelot, my dear, you will learn it is not possible to treat him with courtesy. He is not even familiar with the meaning.
His Majesty is right, my lady. The harsh lands of the northern Celts do not breed folk of gentle mien as do your featherbed dales and downs of England. I fear we do not have your refinement, nor your sophistication.
Ah, but they are equally endowed with daring and fortitude.
And with the ability to turn a pretty phrase.
Thank you, my lady. I was more fortunate than most. My mother was a learned witch from the hills of Iona, and lathered into me the cadence of speech. My tail was oft rendered numb and insensible, but my mind became whole like a skin.
Take a salt pinch to that, Guinevere. His stories are as tall as a pikestaff. Oh, come, Lancelot, I think a cup of something sweet and strong is called for.
With respect, Your Majesty, I observe you already have something exquisitely sweet out here.
I have offered you my hospitality, Sir Knight. The Queen, alas for you, is not included. Will you accompany us, my love?
Thank you, Arthur, but I will gather some flowers. Will we have the pleasure of your company at table this evening, my Lord Lancelot?
Thank you, Your Majesty. The pleasure, however, will be mine entirely.
Well, what say you, mother?
Shh!
Yes. Yes.
We'll see you.
Never be quiet, boy. You disturb the smoke when you speak.
So. What is it? Is it time?
Yes, my handsome son. It is time.
Splendid. When do I leave?
This night.
18 springs I have waited for this moment. I can hardly believe it has arrived.
You will do well to remember, Mordred, that although the fates determine what is to be, you, by hasty actions and thoughtless pursuit, can turn the tide against you. Destiny is a two-edged sword. Take care how you wield it.
I am heir to Arthur's throne. Who can deny that?
No one. Not even he. For you bear the Pendragon birthmark, as he does, and as his own father did before him. He has never forgiven me for charming him all those years ago into believing I was the Lady Gwynion, the only true love of his youth, and luring him to my bed.
You're a cunning woman.
It was merely a logical way of ensuring that one day, flesh of my flesh would wear the crown, and now that he commands the entire Isles, it is time we stepped in to claim what he, the credulous fool, fought half his life for. He is too saintly for his own good.
With due respect, my lady mother, have you not overlooked one factor? Arthur lives.
So he does.
I can hardly wear the crown while he sits on the throne.
Then you must see he vacates it.
Surely even you would not sanction murder.
Mordred, have you learnt nothing from me? Did I ever teach you to be reckless and foolhardy? No. You must proceed with deliberation and discretion. Look to the stars and the course they trace. Read them well, and you will find the right circumstances to twist to your advantage. You trim the arrow, let another draw the bow.
When I am king, mother, you will sit at my right hand as my counselor. No man could do it better. I go now to prepare for my journey.
When you are king, Mordred, I will govern. You are as gullible as your father. You will be nothing more than my puppet.
Is this true, Arthur?
It would be a cruel jest, my lady.
And all this time you have said nothing.
I knew nothing, my love. Nothing, at least, of the boy.
And now he comes to claim his heritage.
He is, in all truth, my heir and entitled to the trappings of a prince.
He is a bastard.
He is the only son I have. The only issue I have.
And the fault for that lies with me.
I made no such allusion. I say merely
you
that
you have always laid the blame at my door. You censure me for the fruitlessness of our union. I am to you a blemished bud which cannot open to the sun or the bee. But what of you? Is Arthur of Britain so divine that he is exempt from the weaknesses of mortal men? Perhaps you are all husk and no seed, my lord. Have you thought of that?
You slight me, madam, and I will not countenance your disrespect.
And I will not countenance the presence of your bastard in my home. He will depart this instant. You will instruct him.
I have no intention of doing so. He is my son and a prince.
And I am your wife and a queen.
You do not sit on the throne, Guinevere.
No, Arthur. And neither will he. Not while there is breath in my body.
Has the queen not yet recovered, my liege?
Good morning, Mordred. Recovered?
From her ailment. As we pass now in the passage, I could not help noticing her flushed cheeks. I thought for a while she has not been well.
The queen is not ill.
But not her usual serene and enchanting self, my lord. Have you not noticed?
She... Like all women, Mordred, her disposition shifts as the tides. It is a ploy they use to intrigue and excite one's attention.
I'm sure there is not a man in the realm who does not adore her. Would you not agree, Your Majesty?
Man, woman, and child. She has captivated many a heart.
Not the least Sir Lancelot's.
Oh, yes, yes, they share a mutual regard, and it delights me.
You set great store on trust and loyalty, do you not, my lord?
Without either, Mordred, life would be a very empty shell indeed.
And what if it should be broken?
A broken shell is of no use to anyone.
No, not the shell, the trust.
No one has ever broken my trust.
I trust no one ever will, Your Majesty.
Damn you, Mordred. You sowed the doubt. You planted the suspicion. You moved my eyes to spy on those I trusted with my life. And now I find their love lacking, their fidelity farce, their honor impaired. You, issue of my loins and my lust, are not in all truth the man I would choose to wear my crown, for you hang like a scab on the Pendragon name. But you were not wrong, though the gods know I wish you were. Guinevere had your measure, and I too blind to see it. Now she deceives me too, and Lancelot, best loved of all my knights. Damn you, Mordred, Lancelot, Guinevere, damn you all! I will avenge my loss! Enter.
All is ready, your majesty.
You have discovered their whereabouts?
Aye, my lord. Lancelot and the queen are lodged in his castle at Strathclyde.
And Mordred?
Mordred is just north of the border at Erwater. He gathers an army, my lord. He is in sight of the northern rebels, and intends launching an attack from there, depending on the innocence of the rural folk to aid him in his sweep down the west coast, and so to Lyonesse and Camelot.
Pretentious idiot. Does he think he can take on my armies? We will vanquish him and his upstarts before he crosses south. The troops assemble?
From the four corners, your majesty. They only await your orders.
Good. And after we have purged the land of that vermin, we will press on to the north. And Lancelot. And may the gods have mercy on him, for I shall not.
My lord Lancelot, you brood too often these days. What is it weighs on you so?
Do you not know the heaviness of guilt, Guinevere?
I know only the lightness of love, Lancelot. For is not this what we longed for all these past months? What is this guilt you suffer? Is there a price to love?
Aye, when one loves as we do. Have you not learned that yet?
The decrees of fate, my love, no mortal can ever alter. You know that.
Oh, it is easy to use fate as an excuse for our actions and thereby refuse the blame. We have wronged Arthur, and in so doing we have shadowed the sun. The joy of loving you has been snuffed out like a flame by the pain I know I have inflicted on him. I would give anything, to retrace our steps and alter the course we have taken.
Would you give your son?
What?
Your son, Lancelot. The son I now carry in my belly. Would you give him to relieve you of this weight of guilt?
You're carrying the...
Your child, yes.
Are you certain of this?
I have never known such happiness.
You have no conscience, Guinevere. We cannot build our joy on another's misery.
I never loved Arthur as I love you. He always knew that. I never deceived him.
He loved you.
With the deepest love I know. Do you think he'd have allowed us to leave Camelot had he not wished my happiness above all else?
We slunk from Lyonesse like rats in the dark.
Had he wished he could have prevented it.
Then more fools we, my love. For having given us our freedom, he takes from us our pride.
My pride is bearing your child. He shall be called Galahad. One day to be a noble knight. Oh, Lancelot, think of it.
Oh, I am. And it only deepens my guilt.
But do you not love me, Lancelot?
Yes, damnation, I do.
Well, then stand with me. I carry your seed, your son.
Oh, my daughter.
And so there will be others. I will bear you generations to live through the years and crown you in the glory of history. Oh,
you bewitch me still. May the gods protect me.
From me, my lord?
No, from my passion for you. For that will surely destroy me.
My lord,
Yes, Percival, what news?
We have a prisoner for you, Your Majesty. He demands audience.
Mordred.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Bring him in.
Bring in the prisoner.
Ah, we meet again, Your Majesty.
Captivity has done nothing to lessen your arrogance, I see.
I've inherited your pride, my lord.
Leave us, Percival.
I do not think that wise, Your Majesty.
Leave us, Percival! I will speak to my son alone.
As you command, my lord.
So, Mordred, do we come to an agreement?
What is there to say, father? I aim for the crown.
You will wear it on my death, Mordred. Is that not enough for you?
More than enough, Your Majesty. But I wish it now.
As a youth, Mordred, I too was impetuous. But I have learned the laws. Everything in its time. The seed planted is the fruit born. There is no other way.
And the season is now, Your Majesty. I intend to gather whilst the crop is ripe.
And how do you intend to reap, Mordred?
With this, Your Majesty!
What? You challenge your own father?
What more worthy opponent? Blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. We should be well matched. Unless, of course, you are as weak in war as you are in love.
The devil take you, Mordred!
You! Come on, you! Up, sir!
My lord, what has happened?
Who is this? Percival? Is this you? I cannot see.
It is I, Your Majesty. You are sorely wounded. Let me
is
help
you. Is Merlin with you?
I am here, my lord.
Merlin, you knew of this?
Yes, of course I did.
On the battlefields, Merlin, I am a king and a warrior. In my tent, I am a father, wounded by the blade of his own son. Is he still here?
He lies, Your Majesty, at the opening of your tent, your dagger in his breast.
Was that in the stars, Merlin?
I do not control the stars, Arthur.
No. Merlin, the Queen, and Lancelot.
Your knights await your command to take up arms and cross to the north, if that is still your desire.
Yes. Yes, it is. But I do not wish them harmed. It will serve no purpose now.
What then, Arthur?
I wish the Queen returned to Lyonesse. I wish you to take her in your care. Lancelot must be left to his castle and his conscience.
Percival.
Lord Merlin.
You heard what the king said. Give the order.
Yes, my lord.
Gilwyn.
My lord Merlin.
Haste you back to the house and bring your mother. Tell her.
Yes, my lord.
Tell her to hurry. Soon the moon will rise over the waves and a barge cut through the mists from Avalon, bearing the Pendragon banners. The unicorns will dance in the wind and under the stars. Now go, child, quickly, tell her.
Yes, my lord.
And Gildwyn, tell her her king and husband return.
That was The Day the Unicorns Danced by Gene Henderson. Merlin was played by Stuart Parker, Gildwyn by Teresa Borrigero. Arthur by Roger Serres. Tristan by Tom Reed. Guinevere by Brenda Radloff. Lancelot by Ashley Dowds. Mordred by Charles Pillay. Morgan by Maureen Adair. And Percival by John Williams.
Technical production was by Ian Kinnear and Oliver Hart. The Day the Unicorns Danced was directed by Don Ridgway.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.